Joyo, little brother of Yogyakarta Governor Sri Sultan, agreed with the innovations of wayang.
Pribadi saya kurang suka itu, Mbak. Karena wayang merupakan gambaran kehidupan kita. Jadi istilahnya,
I don't like modern wayang, ya, which no longer follows the rule, wayang because wayang is description of life. Our life is described in wayang. There are bad deeds and good deeds, but it still has its rule. It has to be standardized. But I don't agree if dalang changes its rule. The real artist is creative indeed, but never changes the prevailing rule.
Itu banyak yang harus diterjemahkan, terutama untuk anak-anak saya.
Many parts in wayang should be transformed in a comprehensive way, especially for my children. I present them wayang with more comprehensive explanation. Otherwise, they do not understand. I realize that the world changes, so there should be adjustment. Keraton or palace still has teaching form, so it still runs in keraton. Kids are forced indeed.
Masih berjalan di keraton.
According to Bakdi Sumanto, Javanese culturalists agreed with innovations and adaptive character that make wayang never die.
Pakaman itu bisa berubah-berubah karena wayang itu sangat adaptif dengan zaman. Pada waktu
rule can change as wayang is adaptive to changes.
Drone.
In the era of G30 as PKI, which is the 1965 incident revolved around the killing of six army generals, Subandrio, who witnessed the incident, was called as Druna, person who made other people fall down, and Sukarno himself reflected in Gatot Kaca figure. So Sukarno delivered a speech by using the allegory of wayang. We do it because wayang is so adaptive that it continues to exist.
Both traditional wayang art and popular wayang art are valuable and unforgotten national cultural products. Basuki and Tafib hope the young generation always preserve wayang.
Harapan saya ya generasi muda supaya
I hope more young generation can.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. The provincial government of DKI Jakarta and Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, have formalized a sister city partnership as a concrete platform to address shared challenges and build resilient, livable, and sustainable cities for future generations. This was stated by DKI Jakarta Governor Pramono Anung in an official statement released in Jakarta on Monday. The Indonesian government plans to build a replica of Bala Lompoa, a traditional house that served as a palace or residence of Goa Kingdom nobles in South Sulawesi in Cape Town, South Africa. To advance this agenda, the Ministry of Culture convened a meeting with the Goa District Government at Bala Lompoa in Goa on Monday. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
In remote areas, our search. In urban areas, I was thrown away for no reason. Have you ever thought that I'm what a tree needs to live? I am what animals need to reproduce. I am what humans need to survive. Yes, I am water. Save me so that the earth and its content can continue to be sustainable.
Good morning. With Independence Day coming up, let's hear from Dimas at RRI Ternate on how the celebrations are taking shape there. Hello, Dimas. How are the preparations for Independence Day going on in your area?
Well, hello, good afternoon for Indonesia. Today I'm here in Ternate, North Maluku. So it's very happy in here, and then so many story about for 18th anniversary for Republic Indonesia.
Glad to know that. How are the preparations going, Dimas?
Ternate prepares for Independence Day. Red and white flags adorn the city. Ternate in the lead of the 18th anniversary of Republic of Indonesia on August 17th. The spirit of independence is beginning to fill every corner of Ternate city. Main Street and village alleys are now lined with fluttering red and white flags and decoration banners. The Ternate City government, together with local residents, began installing decoration in early August. Neighborhood and district officials worked hand-in-hand to clean the surrounding, paint the sidewalks in the red and white, and arrange row of flags and banners in public areas such as Ngaralamo, Salero Field, city parks, and in front of government offices. Not only in the city center, but coastal areas and surrounding island has also joined in the celebration, with residents enthusiastically decorating their yards with flags and Independence Day ornaments. This vibrant display not only enhances the city's charm, but also reflects the community's gratitude and pride in the welcoming Indonesian 18th Independence Day. The celebration will culminate on August 17 with a flag raising ceremony at Ngaralamo Salero Field, which is expected to be attended by local government officials, the military and police, student, and various community groups.
It sounds very festive in Ternate. That's good to hear. VOI listeners, that was Dimas from RRI Ternate with the Independence Day updates from Ternate. If you want more updates from all across Indonesia, make sure to stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Samudra terbentang katulistiwa di situ ada bersamamu saudara. Beragam warna kita, suku tak selalu sama. Kau aku Indonesia yang disatukan karena cinta. Karena kita Indonesia, jangan pernah terpecah belah. Walau kita berbeda, walau kita tak sama, tetaplah satu cinta, kita Indonesia sesungguhnya.
of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Technology become one of the things that must be developed in many sectors, especially in education and research sector. The implementation of technology in education is expected to improve the quality of education and help reduce the gap in education access across regions. However, several factors have hindered the implementation of technology. To know more about this, let's have a conversation with Fauzan Aziman, Research and Development Director, General of Higher Education, Science and Technology Ministry. I'm Unika, and this is VOI Talk. How are you, Pa Fauzan? Thank you for your time today. Hello, Pa Fauzan.
Thank you very much for having me today. Can you hear my voice well?
Yes, it's very clear now. Thank you so much for your time today, Bapak. As we know, technology is important for education sector. According to you, how is the development of technology in education and research sector today?
I feel technology in education and research is advancing at breakneck speed, which is why we are seeing exponential growth that requires us to constantly adapt. As the ancient Greek philosopher Heraclitus said, the only constant in life is change. That's exactly why our government is taking an adaptive approach to policy development. So we need policies that can evolve with this rapid technological shift rather than getting stuck in outdated frameworks.
Knowing that we are improving in that sector, which part of education and research sector that needed technology development?
We think technology is needed to be woven into every aspect of our education and research sectors. But here's the crucial part. So we need to use it strategically to build a stronger scientific culture in our society. So take artificial intelligence, for instance. So AI is completely reshaping how we learn and teach, and we are at a crossroads at the moment. We can either let AI make us passive consumers of information, or we can harness it as a powerful tool that actually enhances our ability to think critically, scientifically.
And what kind of technology that Indonesian students and researchers nowadays needed the most?
So in terms of technology needed by our students and researchers, I think the goal is of using technology not to replace human thinking, one of which is, of course, AI technology. So AI should be here to amplify our thinking process. Hence, we need technology to support this aim. So when students use AI properly, for example, it should be pushing them to ask better questions, explore complex problems from multiple angles, and develop that crucial scientific mindset of hypothesis, testing, and evidence-based reasoning. We want AI to be like having a research partner that challenges you to think deeper, not a shortcut that does the thinking for you. This kind of technology which embraces human thinking, I think, is what we need the most.
Rather than, you know, just a place to replace us, AI to replace us, it's to amplify and maybe a research buddy for the students and also teachers. So how big is the impact of technology for education and research sector?
Yeah, in terms of impact on education and research, this will be absolutely massive, I think. So there's no avoiding it. So here's why this matters. So science and technology are our ticket out of the middle income. So without them, we will struggle to become a truly advanced economy. Technology is transforming every critical sector, safe from food security and healthcare to energy and defense. We are seeing a small breakthrough in AI, semiconductors, advanced materials and manufacturing, maritime industries, and also other parts of technologies that we are seeing day to day in our lives. So these aren't separate developments. They are all the connected pieces of our economic future. So the countries that master these technologies will lead tomorrow's economy. So those that don't will left behind. It is really a straightforward and all starts from education. So you know that Benjamin Franklin once said an investment in knowledge pays the best interest, and that's never been truer than it is today, especially for Indonesia.
So technology is pretty much critical and also significant for the improvement of not only education but Indonesia. We also know that Indonesian researchers has a great achievement internationally. Do you think this achievement enough for Indonesia? What needs to be developed in research sector specifically?
So I'm incredibly proud of the great achievement of our Indonesian researchers globally. So they are true ambassadors for our nation, and we need to support them wholeheartedly. Having spent over 20 years overseas myself as an academic, industrialist, and tech entrepreneur, mostly during my time as an academic staff at Oxford University in the UK, I deeply understand their mindset. So these brilliant minds are constantly thinking, how can I use what I've learned to help Indonesia? The key is creating what I call an infusion process. So we need systematic ways to bring that international expertise home. This happens through two main channels. One is technology transfer, where we bring cutting-edge research and innovations back to Indonesia. And second is people transfer, where we create attractive opportunities for our researchers to return or collaborate remotely. We are creating new programs allowing this to happen, especially in terms of mobility, so that our researchers overseas or Indonesian researchers overseas and come back to Indonesia, return, and then they help our local universities while they are still working overseas. So it's not necessarily ones need to go back home fully, but we can also do this in a way that they can travel to Indonesia, say, one or two times in a year, and then embed the infusion process between two universities, one overseas and one locally in Indonesia. So think of it as a building bridges, not walls, essentially. So we want a healthy circulation where our researchers can contribute to both global science while simultaneously strengthening Indonesia's research capacity. When we get this right, everyone wins and our researchers get global impact while helping build our nation's technological future.
Interesting infusion process, technology transfer and people transfers to build bridges. Wow. What about the research result itself? Where do the researchers release their research?
So here's how the research pipeline actually works. So our researchers typically start by publishing their findings in academic journals. That's the foundations, essentially. But the real magic happens when we look at where that research sits on the development spectrum. So some research, of course, still in early stages, so pure discovery that builds our knowledge base, but other research is much closer to market-ready solutions. So these are the breakthrough studies that can actually solve real problems in our communities right now. The challenge is bridging the gap between the academic publication and practical applications. So we need systems that can identify which research has commercial potential and help move it from the laboratory to the marketplace. So when we get this right, academic discoveries become real-world solutions, whether that's new medical treatments, could be as well agriculture innovations, or clean energy technologies that directly improve people's lives. That's why we are focusing on strengthening the entire ecosystem, from basic research all the way through to commercialization and community impact. And in Bahasa Indonesia, the jargon that we bring today is called Dikti Saintek Berdampak, which means high education science technology to be impactful for our community.
Of course, to bridge the gap, and also you mentioned strengthening the whole systems. Of course, it's going to take a lot, not only from the people, the technology, but also from the financial side. So how much funds are given to our research?
That's a good question. So let me put our research investment into perspective here. So in Indonesia, we're spending about 3.5 trillion rupiah annually. That's roughly around $250 million just on higher education research alone. And that's before we even count the contribution from our industrial sector. Now, while that sounds like a substantial figure, we need to be honest about where we stand globally. So countries leading in innovation are typically investing much more as a percentage of their GDP. This tells us we have significant room to grow our research funding. And more importantly, we need to make every rupiah count. The good news is that we combine government funding with private sector investment, we start to see real momentum. Industry partnerships don't just add money, they bring practical focus to our research priorities, ensuring we are working on problems that actually need solving. This is something that we are working very hard at the moment, bridging universities, industries, and communities. Our goal is to steadily increase this investment while building stronger bridges between academic research and industry needs. When we get that formula right, we'll see exponential returns on every research dollar we invest. So we bring in the cost-benefit thinking very actively this day into our policy on investment in terms of R&D.
That's really good to hear. So not only from the government funds, but also investment. And how would more funds impact the quality of the research and therefore the people?
And that is exactly the right question to ask afterwards. Look, publishing research papers is important. We need that academic credibility and quality, of course. But here's what really matters. We want research that actually changes people's lives. It's why we've built cost-benefit analysis and feasibility studies right into our policy framework. We're not just throwing money at research and hoping for the best. We're treating research as a scalable investment. The smarter we invest, the more powerful the returns become for our society. But here's the key insight. It's not just about the money. The real game changer is having a strong research ecosystem, infrastructure, the partnerships, the skilled workforce, the regulatory framework that supports innovations. You can just flip a switch and create that overnight. So that's exactly why we hosted last week the Science and Technology Industry Convention 2025 in Bandung. So events like this bring together researchers. The event was also attended by our president, Prabowo Subianto, and around 12 ministries and head of the country, government, of the cabinet of Merah Putih. And we also brought in industry leaders, policymakers, and also CEOs. And on top of that, we also did have an opening to our research outputs through exhibitions, attended also by local communities. And we feel that this is where real practice, when people from across different sectors sit down together and talk about what science and technology can bring in into the future of Indonesia, especially to assist the growth and also equity of our economy. So we're building this ecosystem day by day, connection by connection, because that's how research investment really multiplies its impact on people's life.
From your explanation, what I take is that this doesn't only take money to invest, but also energy and a lot of people involved and collaborated in this sector. So out of this very hardworking ecosystem, how did the research done by research institutions so far have a real impact on people?
So let me give you some concrete examples of how Indonesian research is already making a difference in people's daily lives. Take our agriculture research, for example. So in Indonesia, agriculture research, we need to improve our productivity of our land. And we also see that increasing trend of imported goods in the agricultural commodities. So Indonesian scientists have developed a number of different, for example, drought-resistant rice varieties that are helping farmers to maintain yields even during dry seasons. This directly translates to food security for millions of families and stable incomes for our farming communities. In this group, we feel as well that AI can actually make some breakthrough, one of which is through Internet of Things, that we found it actually aligns pretty well where our farmers requires understanding of which part of the farming areas need to be cultivated more intensely. And AI through drones, for example, and then mapping the whole land system, they will make our lands more productive by selecting area with the right cultivations. And in healthcare, I think no doubt that during our crucial pandemic era, we did invent a COVID-19 vaccine called Inavac, the University of Erlangga and team invented. And this helped our nation to develop affordable diagnostic tool for COVID-19. And more recently as well, Indonesian researchers are working on tropical solutions that specifically address our regional health challenges. And this day, we do have a health checkup, medical checkup system in Indonesia, which will cover the whole entire population. And then we are working very hard with our scientists and engineers in Indonesia to supply the health care tools and equipment required and necessary to be affordable and also can be used in whole areas of Indonesia. In our maritime research, for example, we are very impactful as we are an archipelago nation. So Indonesian scientists have developed early warning system for tsunamis and coastal flooding that have literally saved lives. It's also created sustainable aquaculture techniques that are boosting local fish productions. In, say as well, in renewable energy research, we start to see a payoff trend that Indonesian developed solar panel technologies and biomass solutions are beginning to power remote villages that never had reliable electricity before. And in terms of state-of-the-art technology, for example, robotic and semiconductor, we are able now to make smart cards, and also we are able to make much more advanced chips, can design semiconductor chips, and we are on a pathway to start manufacturing chips through our system in Batam. We're also developing this for the sake of the ecosystem of electronic industry, which will then absorb a lot of potential workforce in the future. And the key is making sure that this research doesn't just stay in laboratories. We're working to create faster pathways from discovery to implementation, so more of these innovations can reach the people who need them the most.
There's a lot of concrete examples, and turned out maybe we just don't realize how much the research institutions have, you know, helped our daily lives, and especially Indonesian people's daily lives. Thank you so much, Pak Fauzan, for the meaningful insights. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much as well, Boyneke. Thank you very much for having me today.
Yes, it's very great to have you here. The role of technology in education and research is highly important, just like what we have talked with Pak Fauzan before. With the development of technology, with, you know, hopefully Indonesian students and researchers can be better in the future. I'm Yunika, and thank you for watching.
Samudra terbentang khatulistiwa, di situ ku ada bersamamu saudara. Beragam warna kita, suku tak selalu sama. Kau aku Indonesia yang disatukan karena cinta. Tetaplah satu kita, kita Indonesia sesungguhnya. Kepulauan samudra terbentang khatulistiwa. Yeah.
menunjukkan dengan tulus cintanya. Terasa berbeda saat bersamanya. Aku jatuh cinta. Seperti apa yang selalu ku nantikan, ku inginkan.
Tradition in Natuna Regency when farmers begin to harvest rice. It is called alugain, which is pounding rice grain to produce rice chips. So it is actually the process of making rice chips.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian pop and regional songs, international musical entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Angklung is a bamboo musical instrument typical of West Java. The musical instrument is originated from Indonesia's cultural wisdoms, which has been declared by UNESCO as World Cultural Heritage.
Rindu yang basahi aku. ku mendengar bahwa kini kau tak lagi dengannya. Dalam benakku timbul tanya, masihkah ada dia di hatimu bertahta? Atau ini saat bagiku untuk singgah di hatimu? Namun siapkah kau tuh jatuh cinta lagi? Meski bibir ini tak berkata, bukan berarti ku tak merasa ada yang berbeda di antara kita. Dan tak mungkin ku melewatkanmu hanya karena diriku tak mampu untuk bicara bahwa aku inginkan kau ada di hidupku.
Aku tak lagi dengannya, sudah tak ada lagi rasa antara aku dengan dia. Yang tepat untuk singgah di hatiku. Namun siapkah kau tuh jatuh cinta lagi? Oh, meski bibir ini tak berkata, bukan berarti ku tak merasa ada yang berbeda di antara kita. Entah mungkin ku melewatkanmu
listener. We're going to play a song titled Symphony Yang Indah, or The Beautiful Symphony. This song was created by Robbie Lea.
Dalam kenyataan
Kini ku alami satu masa indah dalam tidurku. Kita pun bermesra, saling mengikat janji. Seronglah diriku dan kamu bagai sepasang kekasih. Selalu datang dalam hidupku.
Rasanya baru kemarin kita berdua duduk di taman, bermain ular tangga, menari-nari bebas. Rasa-rasanya baru kemarin. Rasaku lihat awan menari, ternyata seperti permen kapas. Biar angin bertiup, kita rentangkan harap. Rasanya masih baru kemarin. Na 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 la 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 na 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 na. Rasanya sudah tak sabar lagi menanti kamu yang menemani. Biar semua berjalan, hadapilah rintangan. Rasa-rasanya baru kemarin. La 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 rasanya baru kemarin berjumpa denganmu sore hari, berteman buih ombak, menghirup